Welcome to the second half of our open Bible study. And Brother Malcolm has just presented the viewpoint that there, under the gospel age, there is no exception whatsoever for divorce and remarriage. None, ever. I'm going to present the alternate viewpoint that there is an exception for divorce and remarriage, the cause of fornication. To introduce my thoughts tonight, I would like to ask the following 8 questions for you to think about. And first, number 1, what does the Affordable Health Care Act illustrate? Number 2, when the Messiah comes, what will people hear and consider? Number 3, who put words in the Lord's mouth? Number 4, when Paul wrote 1 Corinthians 7 verse 12, to the rest I, not the Lord, say, what did he mean? Was he merely giving his opinion? Number 5, when the Pharisees tested Jesus, what was the test? Number 6, does the present tense, is it lawful, limit the Lord to speaking only about Mosaic law? Number 7, did the Pharisees answer their own question? And if so, what was did Jesus agree with their answer? Number 8, what did Paul mean, every sin that a man does is outside the body except fornication? So think about those questions, and if you don't know them now, hopefully you will know the answers by the time we're done. The no exception position begins with 2 important rules of Bible interpretation that with these rules helps them reach the conclusion there is no exception under the gospel age. The first rule is that Jesus cannot teach gospel law while Mosaic law is in force, because if he does that, he will be breaking the law of Moses. And he will be encouraging other people to break the law of Moses. And so he can't teach gospel law while Mosaic law is in force. So when they come to Matthew chapter 19 verse 9, why, that has to be Mosaic law, because Jesus can't teach New Testament law while Mosaic law is in force. The second rule they believe is that only the teachings of Jesus that are repeated in the epistles is binding or allowable in the church today. And so since supposedly Matthew 19 verse 9 is not repeated in the epistle to the churches, it's not allowable in the church today. So with these two rules, they begin with these two rules, and that they reach the conclusion there is no exception allowable in the gospel age. Now, I disagree with both of those rules. I'm going to show, number 1, that the Messiah teaching new law while the old was in force did not violate the old law. Then I'm going to show there was Old Testament prophecy that when the Messiah comes, he would teach a new law while the old was in force. Then number 3, I'm going to give a list of New Testament legislation which Jesus gave that is clearly kingdom law. Number 4, I'm going to show that according to the Old Testament and according to Jesus, the Old Testament allowed divorce for every trivial cause. Therefore, when I read the one cause for fornication in Matthew 19:9, I know I'm reading kingdom law there. And then number 5, I'm going to show that the exception was repeated in the epistle to the churches. All right, let's begin with this Affordable Health Care Act as an illustration. In 2010, the United States Congress passed a new law called the Affordable Health Care Act. But that law would not come into force until 2014. So there's going to be 4 years for our nation to get ready for this new coming law. During that 4-year period, American insurance companies were telling people all the details of this new coming law. When they did that, were they violating the current health care law when they were telling people about the new coming health care law? No. Were they causing someone else to violate the current health care law by telling them of the new coming law? No. Why were they doing this? So that people would be ready and know what would be expected of them when the new law comes. In the same way the gospel law worked, Jesus began preaching the gospel of the kingdom, Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. But that new kingdom law would not come into force until the day of Pentecost, 3.5 years later. During that 3.5 years when he was preaching kingdom law, was he breaking the current Mosaic law? No. Was he encouraging anyone else to break the current Mosaic law? No. Just like those insurance companies were not violating the current health care law when they were telling people of the coming new law. Why was Jesus doing this? So people would be ready and know what was going to be expected of them when the new law arrives. All right? Now, the Old Testament prophesied that when the Messiah comes, he will teach new law. In Genesis chapter 49, verse 10, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh comes. To him shall be the obedience of the people. Shiloh is the Messiah. He's going to be a lawgiver, and people have to obey the law that he brings. In Isaiah chapter 42 in verse 4, my servant, that's the Messiah, shall not fail or be discouraged till he has established justice in the earth, and the coastland shall wait for his law. So the Messiah is going to be a lawgiver. He's going to bring his law, and people are going to have to obey that law. Right. Isaiah chapter 52 and verse 15. So shall my servant, that's the Messiah, sprinkle many nations. Kings shall shut their mouths at him. For what? For what had not been told them they shall see. And what they had not heard they shall consider. So the Messiah is going to be a lawgiver. He's going to bring a law. People are going to have to obey it. And that law, they had never heard it or considered it or saw it before. A new law. In Deuteronomy chapter 18 and verse 18, God was speaking to Moses. He said, I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brethren. Moses was a lawgiver. The new Moses, the Messiah, is going to be a lawgiver. All right? Now, I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. And it shall be that whoever will not hear my words which he speaks in my name, I will require it of him. All right? Notice those words. I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command. So the Messiah is going to speak the new law that God puts in his mouth. We're going to make that get little and keep it in front of our eyes. Now watch this fulfilled. In John chapter 12, verse 49, Jesus said, I have not spoken on my own authority. Watch. The Father who sent me gave me a command what I should say and what I should speak. Moses was told, I'll put my words in this new Moses' mouth, and I will. He shall speak all that I command him. And Jesus is saying, it's fulfilled right here. Here is the fulfillment of Deuteronomy 18, 18. Now, John 4:25, the woman at the well said, I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. The people were expecting, when the Messiah comes, he will bring a new law and tell it to us. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3, the church was told, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord? The church has to listen to the words which the Lord first began to speak, the new law that he brought. In John chapter 1 and verse 17, the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Here was the old Moses and the new Moses. What did the old Moses bring? Just the Mosaic law. But what does the new Moses bring? He brings grace and truth, a new system. Now then, watch this fulfilled in Luke chapter 4, verse 22. So all bore witness to him and marveled at the gracious words that proceeded out of his mouth. What's going to come from the new Moses? Grace and truth. And here we see it fulfilled in Luke 4, 22. Gracious words coming out of the mouth of the Lord. All right. Now, look at verse 19 of the old prophecy. Whoever will not hear my words which he speaks in my name, I will require it of him. See this fulfilled in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 3. If anyone teaches otherwise and does not consent to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, he is proud knowing nothing. There it is. There's whoever does not hear my words which he speaks, it will be required of him. It will be required of the church if the church doesn't listen to what Jesus said. All right. Now, here is a list of New Testament doctrine and New Testament legislation which Jesus taught to his people, which would be practiced in the coming kingdom. He taught the gospel of the kingdom, Matthew chapter 4. He taught that when the kingdom comes, all meats would be clean and there would be no forbidden food regulations under the new kingdom. He taught the woman at the well, Jerusalem would no longer be the place of worship. He told her also that the typical worship of the temple would not be a valid way to worship God in the coming kingdom. He taught that men must be baptized to be saved. He taught the members of the church how to settle their disputes in Matthew chapter 18. He taught men must believe in him as the Son of God in order to be saved. That was new. Moses' law didn't teach that. He taught the apostles would be judges in his new coming kingdom. And so he's setting up the government of his new coming kingdom. He teaches that what he calls new commandments. He said in John chapter 13, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you. Here's a new commandment with a new standard for the new kingdom. Again, he teaches the communion. He teaches mysteries of the kingdom and parables. He forgives sins without requiring any animal sacrifice. Under Moses' law, if you want forgiveness, you have to offer an animal sacrifice. Now here's Jesus just forgiving people with no animal sacrifice required. He teaches what he calls my commandments and my sayings. He tells the apostles, I still have many things to say to you, indicating he's already said some things. All right. He teaches men, you will pray to God in my name when the kingdom comes. And he explicitly says, you have not done this before, but you will start doing it. Then he teaches the spiritual nature of the kingdom to an unbelieving Pilate. He teaches that his teachings are like new wine that goes into a new wineskin. And he explicitly said that his teachings are not the old wine that goes into the old wineskin called Mosaic law. He's teaching a new law. He says, to be my disciple, a man has to abide in my word. Now, if all Jesus ever did was just simply clarify and teach Mosaic law, then if you abide in his word, you're not one of his disciples. You're one of Moses' disciples. Jesus is talking about new kingdom law, which he taught. He says, blaspheming the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven in the age to come. He's showing us by this passage, he is envisioning how things will operate in the coming kingdom. He said, if you keep my word, you will never see death. He wasn't talking about Moses' law when he said that. He said, if my own words will judge men in the last day. He wasn't talking about Moses' law when he said that. He said, a man must abide in the true vine for salvation. And he wasn't talking about Moses or Moses' law or Moses' church when he said that. He's talking about the New Testament kingdom and his own teachings. He commands that the story of the woman who anointed his feet with oil must be preached throughout the entire gospel era as a memorial for what she did for him. A new assignment for the new coming kingdom. And then he said to the apostles, I want you to go into all the world, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and then teach them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. Obviously, he had been teaching New Testament law that must now be transferred to newly baptized converts. And finally, he said in Mark 10 and verse 12, if a woman divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery. That is new. The Old Testament never envisioned a woman divorcing her husband for any reason. It was a male privilege only to divorce under Old Testament law. Here, Jesus is talking about what a woman could or could not do, or should or should not do. Now, what I want to show is that in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, the Apostle Paul said what Jesus just said right here is new kingdom law. Okay, in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, he said in verse 10, now to the married, stop right there. Now look at verse 12. But to the rest, you see those two groups of people, the married and the rest. Who are the married? Well, the married are two Christians married to one another in the church. Who is the rest? The rest is a Christian married to an unbeliever. All right, let's start here at the bottom and we'll go backwards. What did he tell the rest? This Christian married to an unbeliever. He said, to the rest, I, not the Lord, say. If any brother has a wife who does not believe and she's willing to live with him, let him not divorce her. What did he mean right here? To the rest, I, not the Lord, say. Was he just giving his opinion? Oh, no. Because if a brother is married to an unbelieving wife, he has to do what he's saying right here. This is a law. It is required. Well, what does he mean? To the rest, I, not the Lord, say. What he means is I'm going to tell you something the Lord never taught while he was on the earth. This is new. And the Lord never dealt with this when he was on the earth. All right, now look at verse 10. To the married, I command, yet not I, but the Lord. What do you mean by that? He means to two Christians married to each other in the church, I'm going to tell you something, but really, what I'm telling you, the Lord's already taught it when he was on the earth. What did the Lord teach? A wife is not to depart from her husband. There's that wife there again. And he's helping us to see that what Jesus said up here, he was speaking about two Christians married to each other in the kingdom when he taught about divorce and remarriage in the Gospels when he was on the earth. Okay, now let's look at Matthew 19, verse 9. The story begins in verse 3. The Pharisees came to him testing him. What was the test? I suggest to you the test was not to see if he's going to say something new or different from Moses, because the Old Testament already had prophesied when the Messiah comes, he will teach new and different law from Moses. So that wasn't the test. What was the test? The New International Study of Bible suggests this. The question of the Pharisees was hostile. For it was for unlawful divorce and remarriage that John the Baptist denounced Herod Antipas and Herodias. And this rebuke cost him first imprisonment and then his life. Jesus was now within Herod's jurisdiction. And the Pharisees may have hoped that Jesus' reply would cause the Tetrarch to seize him as it had John. There's the test. See, those Pharisees had watched. Herod got angry because John preached on divorce and remarriage. He got so angry, he arrested John and chopped his head off. Now these Pharisees are hoping Jesus will get to talking about divorce and remarriage, and it'll make Herod mad at him, and Herod will grab Jesus and have his head chopped off. There's the test. All right. Now, they asked him, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for every cause? That's what. Now, look at this word. Is it lawful? Present tense. Now, it's time to make the present tense argument. Here, Brother Fred Kerbel make the present tense argument. He said, now, is present tense, isn't it? Is it lawful? They didn't say to him, will it be lawful after a while when you usher in your new covenant? They asked him the question, is, present tense, is it lawful? Brother H.E. Robertson wrote, is present tense, at that time. Brother Jerry Perryman wrote, is it lawful, is present tense, not past tense nor future tense. Brother Richard Egerton wrote, the word is present tense. And Brother Malcolm Niffin in Moore, Oklahoma, preached this. He said, so until the law changes, you have to answer according to the present tense question, is it lawful? All these brethren think that's a powerful argument. And since this is a present tense question, they're asking about, is it lawful right now under Mosaic law? Jesus is limited to talking only about Mosaic law. He cannot teach about a future law of divorce and remarriage. Well, if you know anything about Jesus, he didn't feel himself obligated to go by man-made rules on how he answered questions. Look at how he answered in verse 4. He answered and said to them, have you not read that he who made them at the beginning made them male and female and said, for this reason a man shall leave father and mother and shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So then they are no longer two but one flesh. Therefore what God has joined together, let not man separate. Look at those words. At the beginning. What is he doing? He's talking about a past law. I thought this was a present tense question. And the Lord was obligated to keep his remarks focused only on Mosaic law. Here he is talking about the past. What did he say about the past? Number one, did the law from the beginning contradict Mosaic law? Why, sure it did. Jesus said, from the beginning, it was not so. He's teaching a contradictory law. Now, number two, was Mosaic law still in force when he taught this contradictory past law? Yes. Number three, was Jesus teaching people to break Mosaic law when he taught this contradictory past law? No. He wasn't teaching anybody to break Moses' law. Number four, was Jesus teaching only his disciples here? No. He's teaching the Pharisees and his disciples. All right, number five. If Jesus could teach a law from the past that was contradictory to Mosaic law, could he go the other direction in time and talk about a future law of marriage and divorce that contradicted Mosaic law? Why, sure he could. All right, number six. Did Jesus ever clearly, again, somewhere else, teach a future contradictory law to Moses? Why, sure he did. In Matthew 22 and verse 3, in the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like angels of God in heaven. Here is a future marriage law. It is so far future, it hadn't even happened yet. In the resurrection, there will be no marriage allowed. But right now, under Mosaic law, there is marriage allowed. Here is Jesus teaching a future contradictory law to Moses. And he's not causing anybody to break the law of Moses while he's teaching it. If he can do that with the future resurrection marriage law, he can do it with the future kingdom law as well. All right? Now, the question was, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife? For every cause. That was the question they asked him. And Jesus went back to the past beginning law. And they realized he didn't answer our question. So they said in verse 7, they said to him, why then did Moses command to give a certificate of divorce and put it away? For every cause. That's implied. You know why? Because they are responding to their original question. All right, so what did they believe? They believed Moses allowed divorce for every cause. Why did he give us this divorce law then? Verse 8, Jesus said to them, Moses, because of the hardness of your heart, permitted you to divorce your wife for every cause. He is replying to what they just said, and they are replying to their original question. Jesus is saying, Moses permitted divorce for every cause. All right, now we're going to make that get little and we're going to keep that in front of our mind. Moses commanded every cause was permissible. Now, when I read Matthew 19:9, but I say to you, whoever divorces his wife except for fornication and marries another commits adultery, and whoever marries her who is divorced commits adultery. Now I'm reading something different, because this is only one exception for divorce, fornication. But Moses commanded every cause was permissible. This is New Testament doctrine. Now, I want to show that this exception was repeated in the epistle to the churches. What if a Christian's spouse becomes a fornicator? You got this husband and his wife, because she starts cheating on him. And she becomes a fornicator, and she won't stop, and she turns herself into a harlot. What should he do? Just keep living with her? What did the apostle? The apostle said, here's what you do when your wife becomes a harlot. He said in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 15, do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? Certainly not. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a harlot is one body with her? For the two, he says, shall become one flesh. And somebody said, now George, now wait a minute now. Don't you know the apostle is talking about having sex with a temple prostitute? Or maybe renting a motel room and having a professional prostitute come in and having sex with her. Don't you know that's what he's talking about? Okay. Then that means, Paul says, shall I, the Apostle Paul, shall I take the members of Christ, shall I take the members of the church and make them go have sex with a temple prostitute? Is that what he's saying? Not on your life. He's talking about a wife who's gone bad. He's talking about a wife who's turned herself into a harlot. He said, don't you know that he who is joined to a harlot, a wife gone bad, is one body with her? For the two, he says, shall be one flesh. The reason he can't stay with her is because she's turned herself into a bad wife. She's a fornicator. And if he stays with her, he will now be defiled with her. What's the solution? Verse 18 says, flee fornication. The word flee means run away from, escape, leave hastily. Brother Jerry Cutter said, flee fornication. That means whether we're living with a fornicator or committing the act, whatever the case may be, it is to be fled from. That's right. You can't just keep living with that fornicating wife who won't stop. Now, every sin that a man does is outside the body, but he who commits fornication sins against his own body. What's that mean? Here where people start scratching their head and they think, what does that mean? Every sin is outside the body except fornication. If I get drunk, isn't that a sin against my body? Or if I smoke, isn't that a sin against my body? What's he mean? Every sin is outside the body but fornication. You have to understand what body he's talking about in this context. What body has he been talking about? He said in verse 16, do you not know that he who is joined to a harlot is one body with her? For the two, he said, shall become one flesh. Every sin is outside the one body, one flesh relationship a man has with his wife, except one. Fornication. It's different. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 28, husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. How could Paul write this? How could he say, if you love your wife, you love yourself? He could say that because the Bible says she is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. There, every sin that a man commits is outside the body of marriage. There is only one sin that is against bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh, my own one body relationship with my wife. Fornication. Now when I get drunk, or if I get drunk, I should say. yeah, that needs to be corrected. If I get drunk, that's a sin. If I smoke, that's a sin. But it's not a sin against marriage. There is only one sin against marriage, the sin of fornication. So then, shall I take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? Shall I insist they keep living with this harlot woman? God forbid, the old King James said. So that's why I say, when Paul wrote, flee fornication, escape, leave hastily. Every sin that a man does is outside the body but fornication. There's the exception right there. That corresponds with what Jesus said. Whoever divorces his wife except for fornication and marries another commits adultery. Now in conclusion, what have I shown? I've shown that the Messiah teaching a new law does not violate Mosaic law. Just like that Affordable Health Care Act, when insurance companies were telling people about a new coming law, they were not violating the current health care law. Jesus was not violating the current Mosaic law when he was teaching New Testament kingdom law. Well, I showed Old Testament prophecy where the Messiah will come and he will teach a new law. And then I gave a whole list of many New Testament legislation which Jesus gave while he was on the earth about the new coming kingdom, all about it. And then I showed Jesus himself said the Old Testament allowed divorce for every cause. He was agreeing with the answer the Pharisees gave. And they were answering their own question. Can you divorce for every cause? Why did Moses tell us to write a bill of divorce and give it to her for every cause? Jesus said, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, allowed you to put away your wives for every cause. And then I showed the exception was repeated in the epistle to the churches. And so when I read Matthew 19 verse 9, but I say to you, whoever divorces his wife except for fornication and marries another commits adultery, and whoever marries her who is divorced commits adultery, I am reading kingdom law right there. That's new and that's different. This exception was taught to the church in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 verses 15 through 18. And I showed from 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 10 through 11, that when Jesus spoke about marriage and divorce while he was on the earth, he was speaking to two Christians married in the kingdom. Thank you for listening, and I look forward to the question session that comes soon.